All right. I'm going to go ahead and start the meeting publicly. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. This is the evening meeting for the June 17th Bureau of Land Management public meetings for the draft East Alaska Resource Management Plan Amendment and Environmental Assessment. We'll get started in just a few minutes. Until then, we'll give everyone joining us a few more minutes to get online or call in. I'm going to give everybody just one more minute. We do have a couple of people still joining us. As you come online, as you join us, whether you're a member of the public, you'll notice that you are automatically being muted and your cameras are automatically turned off. And for our panelists, as you continue to come in or observers come in, please make sure that your cameras are off and that you are muted. Now is also a great time to make sure that your phones are on silent. All right, folks, I think everybody is here who is going to be here tonight. Thank you again for being with us. In case you're just joining us, this is a public meeting being hosted by the Bureau of Land Management in Alaska. It's June 17th, 6:05 p.m. Tonight's meeting is for the draft East Alaska Resource Management Plan Amendment and Environmental Assessment. Next slide, please. So today's meeting, or tonight's meeting rather, is our agenda is displayed on your screen now if you're using the Zoom application. I'll first provide some meeting logistics, and then we'll introduce a few members of our team and have a brief presentation on the analysis, including a question and answer session. Unfortunately, it's going to take me longer to tell you how the meeting will run and how to interact with us than it really will take us to present you the information. After the presentation and some more guidance from me, we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll go into the public input portion of the meeting. For those of you who might have questions that you'd like to ask, we'll take those questions in the Q&A box, and I'll get into how to use that in just a moment. But I just want to preface this at the top of the meeting that we will take questions throughout the presentation. But once we get to the public comment portion of the meeting, we're going to stop taking questions, and we'll just, if there are outstanding questions that were submitted, we will work on answering pertinent questions, but we won't be taking new ones. We will provide you with plenty of information for follow-up if you need to follow up with us after tonight's meeting. Next slide, please. So here are your project contacts. And if you're listed on this slide, can you please turn your camera on so folks can see who we're referring them to? I am on this slide. My name is Melinda Bolton. I'm there at the bottom. I'm the public affairs specialist. I work for BLM Alaska and have for a couple of years now. And there's my email address if you need it. And I'm going to copy and paste all this information into the chat box. Tina McMaster-Goring, she's the project manager. She's showing up on the bottom of my screen in our little Brady Bunch arrangement there.
Hi, everybody.
And then at the top, she's showing up above me on my screen, is Marnie Graham. She is the Glen Allen Field Office Manager, works for the Bureau of Land Management for quite a long time.
Hi, everyone.
And then there's also the Glen Allen Field Office phone number listed there for you all. Of course, they operate in regular business hours, Monday through Friday. And you can call that office. You can reach out to Marnie, Tina, or myself if you have follow-up questions tonight or need more support, in addition to being able to call the Glen Allen Field Office phone number. And I'm going to go ahead and post your project contacts for you in the chat box. So if you don't know how to use the chat box, if you're in Zoom, hover your mouse over the bottom of your screen, and the chat box will be there just in the middle or so. And click there if you want or think that you would like to use any of the additional resources I'll be sharing in the chat box with you tonight. Please go ahead and open your chat box now. You will not be able to see anything shared in the chat box prior to when you've opened it. So it's not just gonna save things for you there. You have to be in there actively the whole time to receive the information. With that said, now I will share our contact information in the chat box with you. And I'll share it again at some point as well. Next slide, please. Now for our meeting logistics. First, as I mentioned earlier, all microphones and videos will be turned off for the duration of the meeting, except for the person speaking. This is to try and conserve folks' bandwidth. We have people all over the largest state in the union attending tonight's meeting. Attendees will be unmuted if you raise your hand during the public comment portion of the meeting, or if you're on the phone in order to ask a question during the presentation, and we will take breaks during the presentation and see if there are questions that need answered. The meeting is being recorded as part of the project record. And at some point, the materials being collected and recorded today may be posted online on the NEPA register, on our social media outlets, et cetera. This is a public meeting. So transcripts will also be posted at some point after the meeting on the NEPA register. And like I said, we'll have time for verbal comments. We may need to limit people on the length of time they can use for their comment if there is an abundance of folks who want to comment. That's just to make sure that everybody gets a chance to share their thoughts. You don't have to speak tonight. You're welcome to wait and submit your comments in writing after tonight. During the presentation, like I said, I'll be sharing links to pertinent websites and resources for you to access. Please open your chat box now if you haven't yet. As I mentioned, you cannot see things posted in the chat box from before you opened it. Please, next slide, please. So if you've got questions during the presentation, feel free to submit them in the Q&A box. I see that we've already got one in there. So the Q&A box, if you're in the Zoom app, is in the just to the middle left of your screen at the bottom. If you hover your mouse over the dashboard there, you can submit a question to us and we will answer relevant questions throughout the presentation. And it may take us a little bit of time to manually type an answer to your question, but bear with us and we'll do our best to get back to you tonight. If you are on the phone and you have a question, when we call for questions, press *9 to raise your hand and let us, that way we can see that you've got a question. And then we'll try to unmute you so that you can speak. You'll be identified by the last four digits of your phone number and you can unmute yourself after we call on you by pressing *6 on your phone keypad. I apologize, I'm having evening sun coming in and giving me great shadows on my face. So now I'm going to hand things over to Marnie Graham, Glen Allen Field Office Manager. Marnie.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Again, I'm Marnie Graham. I'm the BLM Glen Allen Field Office Manager, and I just want to give you a little background on why we're considering an amendment to the current East Alaska Resource Management Plan. The John D. Dingell Jr. Conservation Management and Recreation Act of 2019, often referred to as the Dingell Act, was signed into law on March 12th of 2019. And there are many nationwide directives in this act, one of which is the Chugach Land Study and addressing the potential of making lands available for exchange. Specifically, the Dingell Act, Section 1113 said, identify sufficient acres of accessible and economically viable federal land that can be offered in exchange for Chugach Alaska Corporation and Chugach Alaska Corporation land identified by CAC as available for exchange. Excuse me. So why these lands? The BLM reviewed all the lands that are managed by the BLM that are also in the Chugach region. These two sections of land were identified because they are in the Chugach region and they're adjacent to private lands already conveyed under Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, and they met the access and economic criteria of the Dingell Act. The 2007 Resource Management Plan, which currently directs management in the area, prohibits land exchanges. To allow for potential land exchanges, the BLM must amend the 2007 Resource Management Plan. A resource management plan amendment would be limited to making lands available for potential future land exchanges. It would not actually authorize or implement a land exchange at this time. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, this resource management plan amendment and environmental assessment would not carry out or authorize a land exchange, but instead considers the impacts of making lands available for exchange. We recommend you keep these points in mind as you formulate your comments. Should the BLM amend the East Alaska Resource Management Plan to include areas of accessible and economically viable federal land that could be offered for exchange in the future? The decision to be made is whether BLM managed public lands within the East Alaska planning area could be made available for an exchange, and if so, under what terms and conditions? If we should not make these lands available for exchange, why not? Do we have any questions in the Q&A box at this time?
Currently, we have one question that was answered, and that question was, Can you clarify whether any portion of the Keystone Canyon / Thompson Pass Trail is on the two parcels of land that have been identified to be eligible for exchange? And you responded, Marnie, that there is a historic trail on the BLM managed lands that are being considered for exchange. However, that trail ends in the private land conveyed to the east. An easement was not reserved through those private lands at that location. Instead, an easement was reserved through those parcels along the northern edge of the private land already conveyed. And that's the only Q&A we have currently.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Serena. We'll continue then with the next slide, please. So who is involved in this analysis? BLM staff has written the draft environmental assessment and has conducted the analysis so far, and will continue to do so with as we move forward in the planning effort. The City of Valdez is a cooperating agency, and tribes with a traditional use in this area also have been invited to consult on the plan amendment. Those tribes include Native Village of Chiniga, Native Village of Tetitlic, Fort Graham Village Council, and the Native corporations that were also invited were Chiniga Corporation, English Bay Corporation, EAC Corporation, Port Graham Corporation, Tetitlic Corporation, and Chugach Alaska Corporation. Next slide, please. So preparation of a resource management plan and plan amendments are subject to the requirements you see on this slide, and you may hear us refer to some of these acts throughout the presentation. FLIPMA, NEPA, Section 106, Section 810. When we say those acronyms, and we are referring to these acts. Next slide, please. So the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, process has many different steps, as you can see. Currently, we are in the 30-day public comment period on the draft environmental assessment for the resource management plan amendment. This step is followed by preparing the final EA, the proposed RMP amendment, followed by a 30-day protest period, and then publishing of the final decision record. Okay, next slide, please. This map shows the general area covered by the East Alaska Resource Management Plan of 2007. And the area we are considering for an amendment is highlighted in green, right almost in the center of the map in the Thompson Pass area. Okay, next slide, please. This resource management plan amendment is done through a NEPA process. As part of NEPA, the BLM must state the purpose and need for the resource management plan. The purpose of this plan amendment is to identify lands the BLM could make available for exchange within the East Alaska planning area near Thompson Pass in order to comply with the Dingle Act. The need is to amend the 2007 RMP to determine whether lands within the planning area can be made available for an exchange. Okay, next slide, please. So let's go over a summary of the alternatives. The no action alternative, alternative one, is when the East Alaska Resource Management Plan would continue to prohibit additional land exchanges. That plan would just stay as is. Alternative two, this alternative was released during public scoping and could amend the resource management plan to make two parcels of land available for potential exchange. Then there's alternative three, which was created in response to public comments. This alternative would amend the resource management plan to make available only one parcel of land. And I'll go over these alternatives in just a second. So next slide, please. So this is alternative two, which was released for public scoping. This alternative would amend the resource management plan to make available for potential land exchange two parcels of land in Thompson Pass area, sections 5 and 6, in Township 9 South, Range 2 West, Copper River Meridian, Alaska, which is about 1,280 acres. These lands are currently BLM managed, state selected lands. They are surrounded by State of Alaska conveyed lands to the north and west, to Tiklik Corporation land, conveyed lands to the east in brown, and BLM managed selected lands by Tiklik Corporation and top filed by the State of Alaska to the south, the yellow with the brown hash marks. Access would be maintained at the time of any land exchange through the form of a public access easement to connect with existing public easements through private native tribal land. Access to the Low River would also be considered at the time of exchange and is part of the State of Alaska's conditional relinquishment should a land exchange ever be entertained for these lands. Next slide, please. Okay, this is alternative three. It was created in response to public comments submitted through our public scoping process. This alternative would amend the resource management plan to make available for potential land exchange only section 5 in the township 9 South Range 2 West Copper River Meridian, and it's approximately 640 acres. Section 5 is the land outlined in black that are adjacent to already conveyed native tribal land to the east. This alternative would not consider land exchanges for section 6, which are the lands closest to the highway and adjacent to state-managed lands. Public scoping described most of the recreation and subsistence uses and the visual resource concerns being adjacent to the highway and contingent to state public lands. Access through Section 5 would be maintained at the time of any land exchange through the form of a public access easement to connect with existing public land easements. So, do we have any questions at this
time? At this time, we have no unanswered questions.
Okay, great. I will turn this back over to Melinda then, and I encourage you to ask your questions. Thank you.
So, encourage you to get your questions in the next couple of minutes before we move into the public input portion of the meeting. If you missed the directions earlier on how to use the Q&A box and you're using the Zoom application, just hover your mouse over the bottom of your screen and middle left, you'll see Q&A. There you can click that, open it up and draft yourself a question. And we'll try and get to it as soon as we can. Once we move to the comment portion of the meeting, we'll stop taking new questions. And we are headed for the comment portion of the meeting. So we want to hear from you, whether it's in writing or verbally tonight. You're welcome to submit your comments in a variety of ways. You can submit them online through the project page on the NEPA register. And again, that's the same page that you likely used to register for these meetings. If you go to the NEPA register link, you simply click on the participate now button and you can submit your comments right there. You can also mail your comments the old fashioned way if you prefer it that way to BLM Attention East Alaska RMP Amendment /EA at 222 West 7th Avenue, mail stop 13, Anchorage, Alaska, 99513. And again, you're welcome to provide your comments today. You are not required to provide comment verbally. You may decide that you don't want to speak publicly, and that's perfectly acceptable. Or maybe you want some more time to consider the information we're sharing, do some follow-up, and then submit your comments after you feel like you've done a little more research or gotten more of your own questions answered, if that's what you need. I'm going to share all of these ways that you can provide formal comment to us in the chat box right now. And I just want to reiterate that the comment deadline is July 2nd this year at 10 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time. Next slide, please. One of the most important parts of the NEPA process is the opportunity for public review. We encourage and welcome a full review of our analysis. We welcome diverse comments. The comment period is meant for the public to provide substantive comments that can impact the final analysis. At the end of the 30-day public comment period on July 2nd, BLM staff will review all substantive comments and address them or make corrections to the document based on the information presented. We encourage you to take your time and read the draft, consider the conclusions BLM has drawn, and compare what we included and what we didn't include in our findings. So you've heard me say substantive a couple of times now. It's a key word here, and understanding it can help you form a more impactful comment. So here's a couple of tips. Remember that a comment is not counted as a vote. Focus on items that BLM might have missed or data that you feel is new or not considered in the analysis. Maybe an effect the analysis could have could be updated based on new data that you know about, or perhaps there's new information we didn't include, or you found an error in the document. Remember when crafting your comments to be direct and concise, explain why you like or don't like something, or why something should be changed, included, reconsidered. Why is really helpful. And then keep in mind that identical comments are counted as one comment. Sometimes it's helpful to envision that you're telling the field manager what's missing, new, or needs changed, because in the end, that is essentially what you're doing. Next slide, please. So if you'd like to provide verbal comment today, here's how. You can use the raise hand button in your participant list. If you're on Zoom or if you're on the phone, press *9 to raise your hand. We'll unmute you and then you can provide your comment. I see one hand already raised. Great. If we have extra time at the end of the comment portion of the meeting, we'll circle back to anybody who didn't get to finish their thought or would like to add additional comment. Again, today is not your only opportunity to provide comment. You are under no pressure to speak tonight. You have still 2 weeks after tonight to formulate your thoughts and submit your comments in writing if you choose. One last reminder about this being a public meeting is that anyone at any age can join the meeting. And while we welcome passionate comments, please be sure to keep your language appropriate for all ages. If you begin to use inappropriate language, we'll mute you and give you a moment to take a couple of breaths before trying again. And if you continue to have trouble with appropriate language, we may ask you to submit your comment in writing instead of giving it verbally tonight. Although I don't anticipate any of those issues. Next slide, please. So just reiterating the ways that you can submit written comments if you choose not to speak tonight, perfectly fine. Here's that information again. It's been shared with you in the chat box as well. And the deadline there is July 2nd, 10 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time. And As I mentioned, I do see someone with their hand raised, but we're going to take a quick 5-minute break. And Michael, you will be our first speaker when we come back. If you guys can all just hang in there for 5 minutes, we'll come right back to you. We want to make sure that we've got all of our questions answered and discuss any further information we might need to share with you. And then it looks like Lisa will be our second commenter. So Michael and then Lisa, just give us 5 minutes and we'll be back. I'll call it 6:28 right now. So we'll be back at 6:33 p.m.
And Melinda, real quick before we take a break, this is Serena. We do not have any unanswered questions, so we're going to go ahead and close out the Q&A box.
Sounds good. Thank you. Pardon my clearing my throat. Welcome back. All right. So Michael, as promised, you'll be our first speaker tonight. I'm going to go ahead and give you the ability to unmute yourself.
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you.
And I attended the earlier afternoon meeting and state my name and spell it for you.
Yes, please. Yep. Good memory.
Well, first, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. And my name is Michael Levshakov. That's MichaelLevshakoff. I am a Chugach shareholder, and I work on the communications team at Chugach Alaska Corporation. I am speaking in support of Alternative 2 for the East Alaska Resource Management Plan Amendment, which would allow for the potential exchange of the parcels of land identified as 6 and 5 in the maps that Marnie shared previously. Chugach has been attempting a land exchange for decades in order to achieve a fair and just land settlement with the federal government. And this has gone all the way back since the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act passed 50 years ago. This particular property is of interest to us because it is in our region and it would provide easier access to adjacent lands that we own and that Tetitlik Corporation owns. And Marnie touched on these points as well right there. We have found in the reading of the initial public comments about this exchange that many people do not have all the facts, nor do they have the full picture of what the property boundaries of the exchange actually are. And for me, when I think of Thompson Pass, I think of Worthington Glacier, I think of the stretches of highway before and after the glacier, I think of all those snow machiners, all those ATVs, all those skiers, snowboarders, helicopters, and this is not what we're talking about. We're further south, and also I want to talk about Blueberry Lake and those road runs when you're the snowboarders and skiers. That's not the area either. To really visualize the area, you're driving out of Valdez, you get to the subdivision at mile 20 there, and you start heading up the pass, and then you're making that hairpin turn. But as you're making that hairpin turn, you're looking down into the area that we're talking about. That's area 6 and 5. So this exchange is well outside the major recreational areas. It would have minimal impact on the recreation that takes place in Thompson Pass. This was touched on too. The state agreed to relinquish their selection of the property for this exchange on the condition that Chugach maintains the 17B easement that crosses the property and provides public access to the Low River. A lot of the comments that came in previously were about skiers, and I touched on that. There are a few runs that come down those mountains on the south side of that ridge, but again, they connect back to the Richardson Highway and don't go down into 6 and 5. There are more than 12,800 acres of state lands with comparable access located along the Richardson Highway. And I'm talking about that recreational access between miles 19 and 37. And if this exchange were to occur, recreationists would still have access to more than 10,000 acres of BLM and state managed land for recreational purposes. And again, they're all easily accessible from the Richardson Highway and not in the area that we're talking about in this exchange. And I'm gonna touch on another theme that was in the topics. This is not a land giveaway. For this exchange, Chugach would give up roughly the same amount of land and actually a smaller amount or a larger amount of land within the Wrangell St. Elias Park. And so again, the land we would exchange is in fact slightly larger than the lands we would gain. And I'm talking about 10, 15 acres, but again, we would give up more than we would receive. And the Chugach, in conclusion, the Chugach people have lived and subsisted on the lands in the Chugach region for more than 5,000 years. Our cultural interest in this land ties to the trade routes that were once used by the Chugach people And that's why we own those lands that would connect, that six and five would connect to. We pride ourselves in being good stewards of our lands and good neighbors with the communities in our region. And we strongly urge the BLM to approve alternative two, which would have no significant impact on public access or recreation. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. I'm gonna go ahead and mute you and remove your ability to unmute yourself. Lisa, if you would like to speak, and just as we did earlier, please just go ahead and say and spell your first and last name. And if you represent a group or anything like that, please feel free to share that as well.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Lisa Wax, L-I-S-A-W-A-X. And after participating this morning, I do feel obligated to speak, being that it seems like only the Chugach shareholders were speaking, and I didn't hear a voice representing Thompson Pass. So that would be my intention. And just a real quick response to Michael's comments. Thank you, Michael. I would be interested in being provided with any history that shows Native travel or occupation of anything in the Thompson Pass corridor. I have extensively studied the history for over three decades, and until the gold rush, there is no documentation whatsoever of any Native occupation or travel through the entire Thompson Pass corridor. And back to what I'd like to say, I had difficulty this morning with the question and answer. I'm not a very savvy typer, and I couldn't get my questions in before they were gone, and I didn't get to see the answers. So I'm using this opportunity to pose some questions, and I'm going to pose maybe 5 to 8 questions. If perhaps BLM can take notes, I'll try and get through them quickly, and then I'll go ahead and mute myself so that I can hear the answers. I consider myself a strong woman, but my tears met the air when reading the draft amendment. Tears for the air, the land, the flora, the fauna, but also for not only the countless Native, but not Chugach shareholders and non-Native folks who not only recreate on the land, but the even greater number of folks who are intoxicated, inspired by arguably one of the world's most spectacular road accessible viewsheds. Pristine is the word I hear over and over again. And I should note that I have lived in the Thompson Pass corridor for over three decades. This viewshed, it attracts folks from the entire world, and every single one of them would unanimously say it's a class one viewshed. Somehow BLM's amendment has classified this view as second to the bottom of their scale, class 3 out of 4. This is a viewshed that summoned 142 last minute comments when folks became aware just between Christmas Eve and New Year's. And some of those folks represent several thousand people, one 160,000 people. And I think it's important to consider that BLM right now, which I'll explain in a moment, against the letter of the law, is enabling the potential desecration of Valdez's truly renewable asset. And in fact, it's shocking. In the amendment 1.5.2 states that the land is, quote, formally determined to have no wilderness, or formally determined to not have wilderness or potential wilderness value. I guess one of my first questions is, I'm wondering how many of the contributors to this amendment have set foot on the land, that the land, when I say the land, I'm referring to Section 5 and Section 6, and how much time they spent on the land. Because there's, I won't go over it all, and I will turn something into BLM, but there's so many things that are just blatantly wrong in the amendment, claiming that the state of Alaska, that it's managed under the state of Alaska's generally allowed uses. That's wrong. Thompson Pass is exempt. That there's no sense of plant and animal species. I've prepared a list that counters that. Well, just now we heard from Michael, we heard from Sherry earlier, claiming that, quoting Michael, there's comparable access. And I think it's important to note that there is not comparable access, because we're looking at land that's unique because it's south facing and receiving sun, where everywhere else is double digit below zero. In the winter, it's also protected from the nuclear winds when it's getting some sun, and it's often protected from the winds where everything else is exposed. It has little avalanche danger, so it's accessible to a greater number of folks compared to the other areas. And also has no crevasse danger, which is also unique to most of the other areas throughout the main corridor of the pass. I'm asking about the folks who prepared, because a lot of the local resources, like Andy Embeck's White Water book, were not used as a reference, and that land is referenced in there. For example, the closest operator, 16 Mile, was skiing specifically on those sections of land, both snow machine and helicopter skiing, in February, March, and April. And I recall a day in April seeing heli skiers from that operator, backcountry tours, and moose on that land. And you can speak with their guides, who would be happy to verify that. The other thing that I guess I would like to say is that I think it's important for BLM to understand the enormous precedent. I want to zoom out for a second and let BLM be aware of the precedent that they're setting, that this is, for example, on 3-6-20, DNR's Lucy Hamner, after DNR's meeting with Chugach Alaska Corporation, wrote about, they were meeting about the relinquishment of this particular land selection. She wrote, quote, "There was also some discussion about other land trades, like the bathtub ring around Prince William Sound. Marty Parsons, the director of Mining, Land, and Water, was steering that conversation." So this is not just specific. This, we're setting a precedent here for something much larger. And the paper trail, which I followed extensively, it commences with a politically appointed by Governor Dunleavy, the commissioner of DNR, Corey Fike, and I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing her name correctly. And she is the one pushing the land through after Chugach Alaska Corporation approached her. This was not set forth by DLM. This was set forth by the Native Corporation approaching DNR to go ahead and relinquish their land. Corey had a multi-page draft amendment for the exchange of land already in October of 2019, even though months later, BLM still had no idea what lands were being proposed. In fact, the first time I've heard it publicly said was just now when Michael was speaking before me. So the And the land that Michael's referring to, it's worth noting that that land's completely inaccessible to the public, even if you have a boat or a plane. That land will never be recreated on, will never be appreciated by perhaps maybe somebody in a jet plane flying over. But it's also worth noting that a land exchange must be in the public's best interest. So anyway, now I can zoom back in, but I feel like that perspective was important. And I'd like to get a better understanding really of why we're here. And I propose that we're gathering on a false pretense. Many folks, myself included, are confused. Myself and at least three attorneys who are far better versed in congressional acts all agree that BLM is erroneously stating that the Dingell Act requires this amendment. And BLM's Erica Reed used that word require in the Valdez City Council meeting. I have an act in front of me and would appreciate being directed to where this is specified. The December knowing incorrectly states that, quote, an amendment is needed to fulfill provisions of the Dingell Act. The Dingell Act is not even mentioned the East Alaska Resource Management Plan, let alone mention that it must be amended. It also does not require an exchange. Section 113.2A requires to, quote, assess the social and economic impacts of the program. And then I guess that's my second question. Is the Dingell required study completed? I know it was required to be completed 9 months ago. I've asked BLM multiple times and have not received a response. I want to know if that study is completed, and if so, how we can access it. So that's my second question. And then after the study, which is in A, is they require the study, section 113.2B and C ask for acreage to be identified and recommendations made for land exchange options. B and C appear contingent on results of A warranting an exchange. Again, not only is the amendment not required, but there's also nothing in the Dingell Act requiring exchange. I ask that this meeting be canceled and resumed after both Congress and the public is able to review the study. That way, we will all be in the same ball field. There are two lines from Andy Motoros, Alaska Wilderness League Director, public comments that resonate. This is quoting Andy. First, BLM should conduct the study and offer recommendations based on the language that exists today in the East Alaska Resource Management Plan. And second, at its core, though, the process is flawed because it relies on a misreading of the Dingell Act. My next question is, I'm asking that if you do choose to proceed, that I'm wondering why the minimum 30-day response is what you're using. My concern is a lot of the folks that are interested are out fishing or teachers that are gone for the summer. I ask that we wait till school gets back and people get settled back in before the deadline. I think 30 days when people are just being released from COVID and some folks I know in particular are out on the water for 3 months and will literally not be coming back in the port. So that would be my third question. I'm wondering also, my next question fourth would be, why did BLM publish on 11/24 in the Federal Register that the land would be offered, quote, in exchange for those lands acquired through EVO's trustee council? I guess my question is this another misreading or am I missing something? My sixth question would be, Marnie had stated in her intro in this afternoon's meeting that there are no other options. And I guess I'm asking that how with 28 million acres, which is the approximation in the Tugatch region area managed by BLM, I'm asking how with 28 million acres, did they really look, or did you really look at all 28 million acres and not be able to identify something that would be better in the public's best interest. And I did notice a lot of that land is road accessible. For example, a good portion is on the Richardson between Glen Allen and Fairbanks. So it's not all inaccessible. And then I guess what my other main concern is that the draft assumes over and over again, it states that it says, and I'm saying maybe 15 times over and over again, it states, it is assumed that if future development were to occur, it would be low intensity and in line with the limited infrastructure and development in the Thompson Pass region. And I beg BLM to delete that line and own up to it, because anytime anything comes up, it seems like that's the go-to. And I'm having a hard time digesting that, because BLM has blatantly said in 3.13, it's unknown if the net social and economic effects would be positive or negative, and the degree of the effects, since we don't know what the corporation will do with the land. So obviously, we don't know what the corporation will do with the land. And yet over and over, when noise, pollution, fish habitat, any of these things are approached, BLM is abandoning their need to deal with it, saying that they're assuming low development or low impact. And I guess, was it low impact before Red Dog Mine built, because there wasn't much infrastructure? And is the air quality the same now as it was before? There are so many things like, the air quality, pollution, noise, the fish in the three closest stock nearby lakes were ignored, the fact that there is salmon habitat 10 miles downstream from the waters that pass through the land, and that feeds into Prince William Sound. We obviously have a very rich fish population that could be at stake. We have the hatchery, we have subsistence folks. And I feel like all this was ignored. And I ask that BLM goes back in when they do the amendment and address the potentials on each of these things. I feel it's grossly irresponsible to just keep saying that they're assuming low impact. And also to note the approximately 15 households that are closest to these selected lands have completely been left out. The Hyde and View subdivision, I'm not certain how they have all got dropped, but they are also not in there. And so it's clear the mile markers, for example, the majority, if not all of the mile markers that reference different items are incorrect. I really ask that BLM go back through and take some time and maybe work with some local folks and talk to some of the operators and maybe get a little different perspective. It felt like a form letter, and the same thing just kept getting plugged in over and over. And I feel like there's just too much at stake to not dig a little deeper. And I also asked that BLM consider that the guiding doctrine for both BLM, which is why we're here, says this land is not available, and the guiding doctrine for the state, the Copper River Area Basin Map Plan, says that this land has very high recreation value and recommends that it remain in public ownership. And it specifies that the recreation value is higher than any potential mineral value. And I keep bringing up the mineral value because I did provide BLM with a copy of an article from the Mining News, which specifies that the Chugach-Alaska Corporation is really pressing to develop as many mines as possible in the Chugach region, which is why I'm having a hard time understanding how this low impact presumption can keep coming up. And I guess so another question, and I'll close up here because I know I'm going on, but it seems like there's not other folks with much to say, and I do have a lot to say, is I'm wondering if DNR is going to, or I'm sorry, BLM is going to follow the due diligence and explore the historic artifacts and campsites from the gold rush early days, early 1900s, as it seems to be stated that they are obligated to do. So I guess that might be question number 7. I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, whether that historic due diligence is going to be followed through. And then I'm also wondering how I can get a copy of the soil, both the soil study and the inventory of wilderness characteristics. Is that public available? Is it complete? And where would I find that? And on that line, I think it would be nice to let folks know, it was stated this morning that we'll be able to get the transcript of this morning afterwards, but I was not able to locate that. And I'm wondering if you could let folks know where the transcript from this morning and this evening's communication can be found publicly. I guess I'll go ahead and let you answer some of those questions. And thank you again for the opportunity and for providing two time periods that might have allowed more folks to participate.
Sure. Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate you taking time to give such thoughtful feedback. We're not going to answer any more questions now that we are in the public comment portion of the meeting. I'm sorry about that, but I've been sitting here taking notes on some of your questions, and I know that Marnie has too. I can see the pen in her hand. and I've got your email address, and I know that you've got our information as well. So I hope that you'll just follow up with us so we can work out some of this information. I need some clarification on some of the things that you're asking for, just because I'm not able to take notes as fast as you're able to speak. But again, thank you for the thoughtful input. We really appreciate it. The transcripts may be posted on the project website at some point after the meeting, but we can't say exactly when or which or both will be posted, hopefully both. But sometimes there's issues with transcripts and they take some time to be completed. They will at some point, as of right now, that's the best answer I can give you. At some point they will be posted. One or the other of them will be made available, unless Tina has a more specific answer than that. But again, we're happy to work with you some more online or offline after this meeting tonight. And I think that we've got your contact information and you've got ours for some more follow-up. So again, thanks. I'm gonna go ahead and mute you now and remove your ability to unmute yourself. Tina, did you wanna add something?
Yeah, I just want to say, as soon as we have the recordings and the transcripts, we will be posting them. We'll probably have the recordings first, but I will, if you're on our email list, I will send out an email once they're on e-planning with the link. You can also check back. I mean, I will do that, but you can check back for information. On e-planning, that's kind of where we put everything. So if you, today, yeah, they're not gonna be posted today, but hopefully within the next week before the comment period closes, definitely we'll get them out there.
And Lisa, if you haven't been there yet, I've shared the link to the Tina's calling it e-planning, but its formal name is the NEPA register. And we have got the link for that and to the project page for you shared in the chat box right now. So that's where that information will be available when it's published and posted online. So I've got somebody on the phone who last four digits of your phone number is 2179. I'm going to give you the ability to speak. If you can unmute yourself, I believe the key code there is *9. Oh, sorry. Try *6 to unmute yourself. There you go.
Okay, very good. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you please say and spell your first and last name before you give your comment?
Yes. My name is John F.C. Johnson, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. And I've been working for the Chugach Corporation for over 40 years. My family is originally from Cordova. My dad is a commercial fisherman, and my grandmother is from the village of Newcheck. And I'd just like to voice support for option number 2. I feel this is the best choice. It will help to fulfill the intent of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act by providing cultural and economic opportunities to the local people. I mean, if you look around Prince William Sound, you look at the ghost towns, and there's a reason why they all just disappeared. They didn't let people use the land, and we need to let the local native people and people use the land, and that's what I'd recommend. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anybody else who's attending the meeting tonight from the public who would like to share their thoughts on the project that Marnie described? Lisa, I can see your hand is raised. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, it's Lisa Wax again, L-I-S-A-W-A-X. I just did leave out one thing that I had submitted to BLM, but I didn't see in the amendment, which I felt is worth noting. And I admittedly did not submit these concerns until after the deadline, so that could have been a factor. But nonetheless, it's a blatant safety concern that I feel shouldn't be left out. And avalanches are what I'm referring to. Blasting, drilling, et cetera, could affect stability, not just on the said land, but on countless easily accessible and regularly attached north faces. And I sent BLM an actual picture of the different runs that also have climbing routes. And it's basically, if you can imagine, the backside of the mountains above the land we're looking at. And there's an extensive number, Odyssey, School Bus, Goodwills, Little Matterhorn, Gully 1 and 2, Berlin Wall, Nix, et cetera. You at BLM have that photograph and map. But my concern is twofold, both that the impact of the live drilling and blasting while unassuming climbers or skiers are recreating on the backside of the site, and then also the consequence of weakened structural integrity and how that could affect avalanche stability. And I just am asking that also be included in the amendment. And perhaps speaking to, consulting with an avalanche professional unless BLM has someone of that fortitude on their staff, that would be wonderful. That's just what I wanted to add in there. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. All right. So I have got the answer question noted for my own records, and I've got the actual questions that were answered as well from the 1 o'clock meeting this afternoon in BLM's records. So we can share those at some point. I'm going to give our attendees just a moment or two more if they'd like to change their mind and provide comment, if they haven't yet, or if they'd like to provide additional comment. I'm going to give everybody just a moment or two more before we close the meeting. And I will share one more shameless plug. If you don't follow us on social media, please do. We had a lot of engagement on our posts there about this project and these meetings. We posted several times there advertising the meetings. And there are posts that are going to go out over the next 2 weeks reminding people to get their comments in, to consider the analysis, that they could follow up with questions, et cetera. And you're all welcome to do the same. If you registered for any of our meetings, you will be receiving a reminder email before the deadline that will remind you to get your comments in before the deadline. The deadline is July 2nd, 10 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time. We can't accept any comments after that deadline. Marnie, Tina, if you have don't have any further input, or if there's anything I'm forgetting that I mentioned at the afternoon meeting, feel free to remind me now or just chime in if you have anything you'd like to add. No.
Add, I just really want to thank everyone for taking time today to participate and comment. And, you know, we do really value your input. So thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you all. Tomorrow is a new federal holiday, so many BLM staff will be taking the holiday. It leads us into our solstice weekend. So be safe out there. And we hope you enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.